IABC Ottawa presents The Voice.
The Voice offers expert insights and practical takeaways for people in the marketing communications industry.
We're sharing the latest ideas and issues with sector professionals.
What can we do to help you take your career to the next level?
Hi, I'm Sherilyn Starkey, and this is The Voice.
Now, if you don't think that scares the crap out of us every single day, you better believe it does. Because what it does is it begs the question, who do we have to become to meet that mission? And then it begs the question, who do I have to become?
Hi, I'm Sherilyn Starkey, your host of The Voice. Everything at IABC is focused on professional development. When you join the IABC, you're making a commitment to your own professional development. And this is something that we take seriously at IABC Ottawa. And for us, professional development doesn't stop with just our members or our volunteers or even the largest community. We also like to have a focus on our board members. So these are the most engaged volunteers that we have in the community. They have taken up leadership roles and they make a year-long commitment, in some cases up to three-year-long commitment to being involved with IABC Ottawa. Last month at our monthly board meeting, we invited Catherine Fair, who is a certified business coach with Rhapsody Strategies, to come and speak to our board of directors. Catherine came in and gave an excellent presentation about goal setting and collaboration, and she gave us a lot to think about. I, of course, never to miss an opportunity, had my handy podcast mic in the room and was able to capture a lot of her presentation. What follows are some of the highlights of Catherine's presentation. Enjoy.
I'm going to start with a story. I have a business owner who asked me to come in. He said, we need to increase sales. So I went in, I did my coaching thing, which is to ask a bunch of sometimes uncomfortable questions, sometimes questions the business owner never even thought of. And we started to uncover where the real problems were in this organization. So this company had been specializing in providing and transporting emergency parts for critical equipment, such as airplanes, manufacturing equipment, things that couldn't shut down for any period of time. And they weren't doing that well, so they had brought on non-emergency business, i.e. it's a little bit more predictable income, cash flow. What we discovered was that there were problems that were happening as a result of that. Employees were less engaged, some employees had left. Their structure had been shifted. At the end of the conversation, I asked him, I said, okay, now that we've had this conversation, tell me about what would happen to this organization, this company, if we increased your sales. And he gave me this very blank look, like this, and then up came this look of horror. And he realized, my God, if we increased sales, that would crush us. Because he realized that their very foundation had been shifted so much that they didn't have the structure in place to accommodate extra sales. So this guy didn't need me to come in and help him increase sales. He needed me to come in and help them recreate their structure, their vision, because their vision had shifted and they were still doing goal setting based on survival mode tactics, instead of basing their goals on their vision. Goal setting is rooted in your vision statement, always. Your vision, your mission, and your values. Your goals are based there. If they're not, they're likely distracting goals at best, and at worst, destructive and pointless. If goals are not executed as per the mission statement and the values, then you have a PR problem. Because your mission statement and your values dictate how you operate, the behaviors that are expected of people within your organization. If you're not acting as per your mission statement and your values, then this presents a problem. Because you're projecting, you're telling the world through your marketing and other information pieces that you are this particular thing. And then when they meet you, they get something different. And that impacts the marketing trust model, and it means that people won't buy from you. It's a subtle thing. They couldn't even consciously tell you that they're doing it, but it does happen. And if you guys are in any kind of marketing, you know that that trust model is so important. So what if your chapter decided that your vision was to be the most innovative and influential chapter internationally? What if you decided that the IABC Ottawa chapter wanted to create the most sought-after business communicators in the Ottawa region? How different would your goals be for this chapter? Exceedingly different. Your PR would be different. Your blogs would be different. Your activities would be different. Even your behaviors would change because you'd be wanting different things for your chapter members. You'd be attracting different people to your chapter as well. If people wanted an international stage, they'd go with the first vision. If they wanted to work locally, they'd go with the second vision. So you might not attract the same people depending on which vision you bring to the table. That means that same holds true for your mission and your values because they drive how you do business, how you behave, and how you conduct yourself. And what a consumer or a member or an employee can expect every single time they walk through the door. That's the vision, or rather the mission statement and the values. So at Rhapsody, our mission statement is to build the most sophisticated leaders who change the face of business. Now, if you don't think that scares the crap out of us every single day, you better believe it does. Because what it does is it begs the question, who do we have to become to meet that mission? And then it begs the question, who do I have to become to be part of an organization with a mission statement like that? And that's scary. So again, it drives your goals, not only for the organization, but your own personal goals. What do you want to bring to this table? What do you want to bring to your members? What can you personally bring? So there's two key ingredients to this. It's really in the linguistics of two words. So the first one is concerning decision-making. Most people, this is what they see or they think of when they're making a decision. I don't know, do I go left? Do I go right? Do I go forward? Do I go backwards? They don't necessarily know where they're going. Again, if they know very clearly what their values are and their vision and their mission, decision-making becomes so much easier to do. If you think about this one word, decide, which of course is the basis of decision making, that's actually two Latin words put together. Side means to cut. D in Latin means away. To cut away. So when you're setting goals for your organization, if you're basing them on your vision, mission, and values, and you make a decision to have a particular goal, I encourage you to, instead of thinking, I decide to do this, think instead, I decide to not do all of that. It creates a focus and a clarity that prevents you from getting off the garden path. There's another word, priority. We think of many of them. We think of plural, priorities. The interesting thing is that prior to the 19th century, there was no plural format of the word priority.
Makes sense.
That is modern society bringing that to our language. If you have more than one priority, do you have a priority? So here's the key when goal setting is I'm going to encourage you all to take on a new thinking. When you have your list of priorities, instead of referring to them as your list of priorities, refer to them as your priority list. That change in verbiage changes the message to your brain. Priority, there's a list of them, suggests to the brain that they're actually prioritized. So when you create your list of things to do, create them in a priority list. Then prioritize them so that the priority really is sitting at the top. The first rule to goal setting is make sure they're based on your vision, mission, and values. Apply proper decision making, which is to cut away all other options, and make sure you're basing it on a priority list instead of a to-do list or a laundry list, and prioritize. So the second rule of goal setting is gaining clarity. Of all of the things that you do on this board, the single most productive thing you can do is gain clarity before you start acting. So making sure you're very clear on what you're trying to accomplish will save so much time. So how do you do this? Three things. So first of all, you assess the situation. You create an action plan that meets the needs of the assessments. And then you execute with clarity and confidence, hopefully. And none of those can be done without collaboration. It simply doesn't work unless you're collaborating together. So collaboration is built by people who understand each other and understand how to work together. On boards, this is particularly important because you don't necessarily work together. Often, the skill that will affect you positively, most profoundly, will be the skill of collaboration. And it is a skill. Key to understanding others is to best start with understanding yourself. And with my clients, we always start with two assessments in particular. One is a DISC assessment. The DISC behavioral model, we don't just have somebody do their assessment. We have them actually learn the model. So the DISC assessment, what it does for them is it helps them be self-aware so that they know how their behaviors are actually quite predictable. So if they know that in advance, they can manage that. The second half of that equation is knowing the people that they work with. So this is particularly effective on a board, with a team. You understand the model, so now you understand how you predictably act, but now you understand how that other person predictably acts. So you know what they fear, what motivates them, and what happens to them under stress. You know what happens to you when you're under stress, what your biggest fear is, and what your biggest motivator is, even though you thought it was working out every day. That's not your motivator. So the DISC model helps you understand that. Where we've seen the most profound change with this is with team groups. It creates this new language for the entire team. They start having jokes about it. Things that caused conflict before, they can diffuse by saying, oh man, just D that down. Henry, you're D-ing it up again. And everybody can go, oh, right, he is. And he can go, oh, right, okay, so I can change things. But he knows where it's coming from. So it's not taken personally. That language really, really helps people diffuse conflict and become more productive as individuals. The other assessment that we do is know your company. So there's know yourself, know your company. It's a proprietary software program called the Rhapsody Business Assessment, and it's a series of well over 100 statements that the business owner will rank their company on, 1 to 10, in 18 different categories for their business. What this does is it's what I call teasing out the truth. So many businesses think they are doing much better in a certain area than they actually are, or they think they're doing terrible in an area that they're doing much better in than they think they are. The classic example of this, they would always tell us that they were great at customer service. Great! Yeah, 9 out of 10, 10 out of 10. And then we would ask them, how do you know that? And they'd say all the reasons why they thought they were good at customer service. And then we'd ask, have you ever asked your clients? Have you ever put out a customer survey? Do you know what your customers think about X, Y, and Z? And so we would say to them, until you have that data, you cannot actually say that you have great customer service. Because you're only giving your own opinion about that. You're not giving your customer's opinion about that. So assessments are essential to getting the correct information to act on. I want to talk about effective meetings for a moment. One of the things that Patrick Lencioni talks about is that many people will arrange meetings and not know exactly what it is they're trying to get out of that meeting. Now, I'm not talking about the agenda here. What I'm talking about, is it a tactical meeting or is it a strategic meeting? And those two things are very different. So a tactical meeting is when you come in and you say, okay, what did you get done in the last 2 weeks? What about you? What about you? What about you? And you do like lightning rounds to find out where everybody's at. Then you find out what the problems are. Then you decide what you're going to do next. All to meet the list of things that you want to do. That requires a certain part of the brain. A strategic meeting is where you come in, you brainstorm, you talk about the future, you come up with new concepts, you add new marketing programs, new promotions. That's a very different part of the brain. And the two can't act at the same time. So if you try and bring strategic thoughts to a tactical meeting, certain people in the room, and for the most part, most of the people in the room, will simply not compute. And they will not engage, and they will not. You will not get the response you want from them. I have one business owner, when she learned this, she said, "Oh my God, I do that every meeting." She goes, "I go in, and I've got this team, and they're very good at doing things, and I come in, and I'm talking about, okay, that's great, we got that done, we got that done, we got that. Oh, you know what? I have this great idea. 6 months from now, I want to launch this new project that does the following." And they all freeze, and they look at her like, "Oh my God, please don't do this to us right now," because they're still trying to grasp this list of things that they have to do. They are not in creative mode. They don't want to hear about what's happening 6 months from now. Now, if she had booked the meeting and said, "We're going to talk about new promotions over the coming year. I want you to bring your thinking caps with you. We're going to brainstorm. Bring the ideas that you've been thinking about." You're going to create a very different result at that meeting. So I encourage you to be very aware of that when you're having meetings, is to make sure that you're keeping the strategic part separated from the tactical part. I strongly encourage you guys to get a facilitator. So one of you take on a facilitator's role for the year, or all of you decide to take on the facilitator role every time you have a meeting. So one of you take that on. Yes.
Is that a different role than the chair of the meeting?
It really depends on how you define the chair of the meeting. So definitions become important in this case. So basically how I'm defining a facilitator is somebody who is responsible for making sure the meeting starts and finishes on time, that it actually accomplishes what it's supposed to do, so it's meeting the agenda needs, and that everybody is being heard. And that's key. That's probably the most difficult part of a facilitator. Is you will sometimes have that one person who always is talking over others. And that actually, if you understand the DISC behavioral model, you understand why that's happening and you understand how to deal with it much better. But managing it is very important because there are other people in the room who have even better ideas, and there's a biological reason for that. So facilitating so that everybody has an opportunity to speak is a really important role in a board setting like this. Be willing to call out those who are not prepared. You spent your personal time getting prepared. Everybody else in the room did too. So the one person who consistently shows up unprepared is disrespecting your time. I'm talking about calling them out gently, not launching yourself across the table at them. And then the other half of that is help others be prepared by having an agenda. Not an agenda that comes out the night before the meeting, but an agenda that comes out as a result of the meetings of the minute within, say, 24 to 48 hours of the last meeting, so that people can actually act accordingly on it. Be clear on the amount of time everyone can commit, and then be respectful of that. So then the other half of this is the five dysfunctions of a team. So we've talked about team effectiveness. A lot of that comes from that book, Death by Meeting. But the very close cousin to that is the five dysfunctions of a team. If these things are happening, they will impact your team. And I don't actually know of a team that does this extremely well. There's so many parts and reasons for these things that you need to constantly be developing this. So I'm just going to read them out. Absence of trust. This one is the pillar that everything else sits on top of. The next one that you see there is lack or fear of conflict. That happens because of the lack of trust. So fear of conflict, this is a very difficult one to deal with, but it needs to be dealt with because your meetings, I guarantee you, are not as effective as they can be without conflict. Lack of commitment. Everybody's seen this. Everybody comes to the table and one person is consistently just not there. Avoidance of accountability. So that's blaming other people instead of taking responsibility. Not fault or blame, but accountability for your particular situation. And then the last one up there is inattention to results. This can sometimes be details, but it can also be pushing things under the carpet, committing to a result, but then only going sort of 70% of the way to that commitment. So before I close, I'd like to open up to questions.
The DISC thing in particular, very, very interesting. And I mean, I think it's something that this board should think about going forward, and maybe finding out how we can tap into that power that will really... Because the thing is, we're a board for a year, right? And every year it changes. Some people stay on, some people leave, and we have to coalesce quickly
Yes.
Usually over the summer months in preparation for our September thing. Do you have some background information on the DISC thing that you could share with us just to give us a little bit more context? Mm-hmm.
So just so you're aware, the DISC assessment is from a company called Everything DISC. So we send that out. It's not from us, right? So we pay for that. Typically it's about $139, let's say, just per person for the assessment. And then I would come in and do the training. And the training can take as little as an hour, but most effectively for a group this size, an hour and a half to 2 hours.
I was curious about where you alluded to the transition from tactical meetings to strategic meetings. Mm-hmm. So I think that the sort of having an effective tactical meeting is pretty self-evident. You sort of talk about the tactics that you're already implementing and how you're doing and that sort of thing. But with regard to the strategic portion, either in a separate meeting or transitioning, I mean, what are the sort of hallmarks of an effective discussion about strategy in terms of the topics you should be discussing, creating an effective balance between sort of an agenda and sort of leaving things open for people to come up with new ideas and that sort of thing?
Okay. Great question. So I don't know if your podcast can hear that. So basically you're asking about either transitioning from a tactical meeting to a strategic meeting, which I don't recommend doing. Mm-hmm. I recommend that they actually be separate. How can you set up a strategic meeting so that it is more effective? So the agenda for a tactical meeting can be very detailed. An agenda for a strategic meeting should be very vague. Here's four items that we want to discuss, but it's not about here's it done or here's what everybody is doing concerning it. It's an opportunity for you to come in and brainstorm on it. So the rules of brainstorming are you don't cut anybody else off, you don't put anybody's idea down, and you throw it all up there. The idea behind it is that your idea, crazy though it might be, absolutely unrealistic, is to stimulate somebody else's brain to come up with another idea that's equally crazy, that stimulates somebody else's brain that comes up with something that's kind of interesting, that stimulates somebody else's brain that comes up with the idea that you actually use. If you stop that first person from spewing out something kind of fun, and this is where wine is really useful, then you stop the process in its tracks. So it's a very different process, and it requires a very different part of the brain. So the main things are encourage brainstorming. I find that reminding people of what the rules of brainstorming are before starting brainstorming is actually very effective. Making sure that your agenda is vague, not too specific, because you want to create in this environment, not follow.
So I was interested in the part of the presentation where you talked about knowing your strengths. One thing that I sort of always wonder about or maybe struggle with is, I guess, the difference between knowing your strengths and sort of accentuating your strengths and sort of staying stuck in the same rut and sort of just not really moving outside of areas where you feel you're already doing well. Mm-hmm. Is that something that you ever deal with, or is that something that you offer advice on, or what would be your response to that sort of challenge?
That is a really good question. There is a train of thought that says stop trying to develop the areas that you're weak in and just focus on your strengths. We at Rhapsody don't believe that that's true. You have to function in the world in a lot of different arenas, some of which you just aren't that good in. And so learning, by definition, is pushing yourself outside of your comfort zone. When you develop your strengths, you're not pushing yourself outside of your comfort zone. You're staying in the areas that you already know. So it's not as strong growth as growing yourself in the areas that you are not comfortable. Everybody has their weak area. What's interesting, too, and you discover this in the DISC behavioral assessment, is that your strengths, when you start to overuse them, become weaknesses.
Could you give us an example?
Sure. Mm-hmm. So if you have somebody who's very analytical and they're comfortable in the analytical world and they are driven by data and data being correct and that's what their focus is, think about if they get really focused on that, but they're on a team. So somebody brings something to the table and it's not quite 100% 100% correct, but it had a point to it. The person who's analytical, if they're so focused on everything being correct, they are going to jump in there and say, yeah, but that's not exactly how that works. And by doing so, they sort of miss the point of what was brought to the table. And it's not that they're trying to be a pain in the rear end. It's not that they're trying to be problematic. It's just that their brain is so focused on data being correct that that's what drives them. So just to wrap things up, know who you are, which is your vision, mission, and values. Know what you are doing, which is establishing your goals, the goals that drive you to your vision, mission, and values. Know yourself. Find ways to assess yourself and to assess your organization. And then execute by having effective meetings and effective teams. Remember the three things I talked about. Assess the situation, create an action plan that meets the needs that were discovered in the assessment, and then execute. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, my pleasure.
The Voice podcast is published by IABC Ottawa for marketers, communicators, and creative advertisers everywhere. We'd like to thank Amanda Speroni from Thornley Follis Communications, our sponsor. Amanda is our producer. I am Sherry Lynn Starkey, your host. I'm the past president of IABC Ottawa, and I'm the current president of Thornley Follis Communications with offices in Ottawa and Toronto. You can connect with me on LinkedIn, Sherry Lynn Starkey, or at Twitter, at Sherry Lynn, or reach out to IABC at IABC Ottawa on Twitter. Thank you for listening, and please watch for future episodes of The Voice from IABC Ottawa.